Thank you very much for the opportunity of being with you. It does work. They've got a sound team over there. You know, I don't get to many churches. You know why? They don't want to talk about these sort of things. And you've got a pastor who's willing to open his mouth and talk about things that a lot of people want to hide under the carpet. Sad, isn't it? Because when things are hidden under the carpet, don't get talked about, people don't know that there's forgiveness. They never find out. They never find out that God is a God who says, hey, you've done wrong, but I'm here to forgive. I'm here to cleanse. I'm here to make you new again. And that's the message I want to bring today. If you're hurting because of abortion, or you know someone who's been through abortion, or you've been through that sort of hurt, I'm not here to say I'm judging you, because I know from experience, from those I meet, that you already feel judged. Not because someone said anything, but because in your own heart you know where you're at. But I want to offer to you the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ. I want to offer to you hope for the future. And I've seen many, many women and men who've been through an abortion experience come to know that Jesus Christ is the one who's given them hope for the future. They still have a scar. You cut yourself, you still have a scar. But it heals. But you get a reminder. There's constant reminders. But God is gracious, and he'll take you through. So I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you to say, hey, this is something we can talk about. There's a whole lot of resources down the back as we begin. I just want to introduce a couple. If you want to know a bit more about Choices of Life, we did a DVD, and you'll see the first fellow on there. You probably know Peter Rame. He gets into everything, doesn't he? Yeah. If you know him, that's true. I always used to think he sells refrigerators to the Eskimos, but he probably does. And there we talk through the issues and the things that happen within Choices of Life. If you'd like a copy of that, they're down there. This is a brand new one. Anyone seen It's a Girl? Not heard of it? Brand new DVD. It's about India and China. Basically India, but a bit about China. It's called The Three Deadliest Words in the World. It's a Girl. Why do you think they say that? Because there are more girls aborted in India and China than boys. They reckon there's at least 20 million girls missing in India because of abortion. Because you see, they want a boy, and if they're pregnant with a girl, abortion becomes the first option. It's illegal in India now for a doctor to tell his patient, the woman, that she's carrying a girl or a boy. It's illegal. They find out. You know what happens after they're born? I don't want to tell you, you find out. Because they still don't survive. And you read a brochure down there called Afterbirth Abortions. There are people in Australia who would advocate the taking of the life of those little ones after they're born. In Australia. And I have no hesitation in saying they were the founders of the Greens. Surprised? No way. Right? Bob Brown and Peter Singer. It's in their mind, it's been in their mind for the last 40 years. That's not a surprise. Can you see where they're going and see where they've come from? Don't be fooled. And there are a lot of people in the church that are fooled. But before we criticise India and China about this policy that takes the life of the unborn girls, remember Dr. Mark Hobart in northern Melbourne, who's before the tribunal at the moment, the medical tribunal, being investigated because a woman came to him and her husband, they came to him and said, we want to have an abortion because we're carrying a girl, we want a boy. He wouldn't refer them for abortion. He's now being investigated because he broke the law. Because the law in Victoria says if a woman comes and wants an abortion, you must either refer for abortion or refer her to someone who will refer for abortion. You got that? The members of Parliament in Victoria passed a law with a conscience vote to take away the conscience of the doctor. It's criminal. But that happens in Victoria today. And he's under investigation. The person who eventually did the abortion, not because he referred them, but they had the abortion. He got paid by a government. He could lose his licence. This man, Dr. Mark Hobart, could lose his licence to practice as a doctor. Victoria, 2013. That was in May. You know, we need to stand with people like this. The law in Victoria is the worst in the Western world. It surpasses what happens in America. Effectively, abortion is available for full 9 months of pregnancy in Victoria today. If a baby survives an abortion procedure, they're not required to keep that baby alive, and they do things which I won't mention here. We live in a barbaric society. And those who can't speak for themselves are not being given a hearing by someone else. If you're interested in what's happening in India, China, but as I said, don't condemn them before we look in our own backyard, because it's happening here. That's my little beginning. Let me introduce my family. We go to Dundas Baptist Church down on near Eastwood, Epping in Sydney. My family here, my daughter and son-in-law today, they've been there almost 2 weeks now. They live in a room smaller than that stage. It's about half the size of that stage. That's their house. They have no running water, which they get their water down the street. The facilities are outside. They have a little space nearby where they cook on a little two-burner stove with a gas bottle. Mum and dad and two kids and their helper. 2013. God's called them there with Wycliffe Bible translators, and they're working in northern India, not far from the Nepali border. And God's called them there, a little village, an animist village. And there's been a few little ructions already, and they've only been there 2 weeks. That's interesting. But we love them and we miss them. And Caleb was, first little fellow was five just this week, and his dad, Toby, there was, well, whatever he is today. It's his birthday. So we remember them very much. Choices of life. A ministry which God has brought into being and continues to challenge me, because, as you can see, I am a spring chicken. A bit like your pastor, you know. He's not honest with himself, right? We ain't spring chickens, but I really would desire someone who can stand and I can train and say, hey, this has got to keep going. This has got to happen for the young people. And I have a vision. I have a vision. You know, in 1791, a man and his friend were both elected to the British Parliament. And it was interesting, they both had lots of money. You might sort of recall the last election a little bit. They had lots of money. They really weren't that interested in getting into Parliament, but they put their money into it and they got there, both of them. And it was interesting because one of them became the Prime Minister at the age 25. You with me? Who have we got? William Wilberforce wasn't the Prime Minister, but his friend William Pitt, the younger. And William Pitt became the Prime Minister at 25. What a big responsibility. But William Wilberforce was a pagan, pretty well. What he did with his life, he wasted it with all his money. He actually his mother didn't want him to know about Christianity, and when he found out that he was staying with his aunt was sort of a Christian and was presenting the gospel to him, she took him back, took him away from that, and he sort of went down the wrong path. But God got hold of him through a man who came and spoke to him, right? He came and spoke to him and challenged him and changed him, and God's used him. And you remember his name. the world knows William Wilberforce, because he fought for those who couldn't speak for themselves. That's what he did. And for 40 years in the parliament, first 20 years, got one thing through, another 20 years more. You know, and God changed the whole face of that society because of one man who spoke up for those who weren't able to speak for themselves. It's a challenge, isn't it? There are many of us, and we can do even more if we really put our heart and mind to it. And so often Christians are keen to keep their mouths shut, but we need to open our mouths. I know I keep my mouth shut at the wrong time too. We all do it, don't we? But hey, we need to stop and think. Because my mission, my goal, is to make abortion as unthinkable as what William Wilberforce fought against, and that's slavery. Right? Because you see, what William Wilberforce did first was to make abortion, make slavery unthinkable. Right? He didn't change the law first. He went out and educated the society and did something to say slavery is not acceptable. We need to change it. We've got to think, what does it do? What's it about? How does it happen? What's it doing to those who are treated as less than human? The arguments that are used for slavery, to justify slavery, the same arguments they use today to justify abortion. You think about it. There's really no difference. But it happens. And I believe in generations to come, if the Lord tarries, we can see a generation rising up who will say, we've had enough. We've had enough of the killing of our unborn, our generation, and we will stand for the truth. Because you see, as I train and educate young people, I believe that change can happen. That can happen. And we can see things happening across our country. I can see young people. Don't ever give up on your young people. There are fantastic young people. I see a number here this morning. And I see fantastic young people still in schools. And I'm so encouraged to think that here they are, hearing the truth. And I see some responses amongst young people that I never believed possible. Let's be encouraged. And let's keep going. Let's keep encouraging these young people. Because you see, as we present the value of human life, as we read in Psalm 139, as we present that truth, we're going to see a change. We're going to see a change of heart because God's word speaks and works in people's lives. And that foundation of God's word must be there. Must be there without any doubt at all. It has to be there. It has to be there. And what's the one that we read this morning? We're fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. I added that bit on because that's true, isn't it? We're made in the image of God. Someone said that every abortion destroys part of the image of God. That's where it really, really bites. It has to be there. That's what it does. It destroys the very image of God. It's attacking God himself. Not just the woman, not just the baby, but attacks God as well. Because that's the bottom line, isn't it? And as we think about this very image of God, it talks about the fact that we're knit together in our mother's womb. I like the little picture that's there. Ever tried to understand some of the pictures of the Word of God? What's it mean to be knit together in your mother's womb? I puzzled about that for some time, and I came up with something that may have been in God's mind. I'm not sure it's in David's mind, but God's mind, as he wanted us to think through this issue. What do you use when you knit? Can I ask questions in church, Pastor? You think so? What do you use when you knit? I'm an old teacher, you see. Old and teacher. But I just like to ask questions. What do you use when you knit?
Needles.
What else?
Wool.
Wool. What else? Some say a pattern.
Skill.
Patience. Sorry? Thank you. A lady, she knows, you use your hands. Come on, you lot. Don't you know that? That's the bottom line. None of those things are any good until your hands get involved. How many garments can you knit at any one time? One. If you have a pattern and you knit one and you knit it again, are you going to get exactly the same again? No. You got the picture? When God knit you in your mother's womb, he's giving a picture of what happened back in creation. One at a time. God used his hands, and he never repeats the same exactly again. Isn't that great? Let's not lose sight of the wonder of our creation. That here we are inside our mother's womb as an amazing, amazing creation of a God who loves us and cares for us. And even at 8 weeks, just that little person inside our mother's womb. Let's have a look. If you really want to know how big you are at that picture, that's the second one there. In about 8 weeks. And 9 weeks is the next one. All right? And 10 weeks is the next one. You'll see the larger models down the back. Would you like to? Just a little person. Don't usually show videos in church, but hey, this is appropriate, isn't it? We're marvelling at the creativity of a God who made us. That's what we're looking at. A God who creates us in his image. Says, hey, here you are. And you watch this little fellow because he's very, very skillful. He can even count his own fingers at this stage, even at 11 weeks. You watch. Each little finger. Not just a blob of cells, are we? And yet the world will tell us often we're not significant. We're just a blob of insignificant cells. Wow. Pretty insignificant. No way. No way. Look at that. And just an amazing little creation that God has made inside mum's womb. Where do you think they got the idea of aqua aerobics from? God created it first. Johannes Kepler, a great scientist, said we only think God's thoughts after him. And here we are. Another one. Right? That little person there. Getting a little bit tight in there. Mum starts to feel somewhere around this stage. Amazing. Little thumb, you know, nothing's wasted. Little thumb goes in your mouth. So you're getting ready for breastfeeding, right? So you're practicing, getting all those things done. And as you suck your thumb, you're also developing the muscles in the back of your throat so that you can make those sounds as you start to develop your ability to speak and all those sorts of things inside your mother, when you get out, but you're preparing for all that while you're inside your mother's womb. Notice the eyes aren't open yet. I was at a school I forget where now, and I was talking to the principal. I think it was up near Lismore. It was a 7-day Adventist school, and the principal said he used to work in a medical museum where there are lots of things, and he was a fine man, and he talked about some of these things, and he said, you know, at one stage inside your mother's womb, you'll notice it here, God releases inside your mother's womb a little enzyme which is like a zipper and unzips your eyelids, your upper and lower eyelid, and unzips, and there you are. And it's just amazing. Perfectly divided. All these little things. Can we say we are fearfully and wonderfully made? What an incredible thing that all these things fit together. And all this tiring stuff that happens in there, you know, sometimes you feel so tired, you do exactly what you would do and have a big yawn before you go to sleep in church. Go to sleep. Right? But this is more like what you do when you come to church, when you find something that really excites you. Right? Human? Of course you are. You today are exactly a continuing development of that little fantastic person there inside your mother's womb. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Hey, isn't that a foundation of where we go when we're pro-life? We can't go any further, but we can. But that's got to be a firm foundation that holds very, very dearly to our hearts to say this is where we must be. We're fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Challenges. Challenges. John chapter 10 and verse 10 reminds us that of something that Jesus said. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What an amazing picture of abortion. I can't imagine how better it could be described. God understands. He steals the truth. He kills the unborn. He destroys the woman, and often the man as well, and many others in the wider family. It's a big, big, big issue. And it's very, very sad when I see the effect it has that ripples right through families. But then it's wonderful to see what God does. Because what's he say? I've come that they might have life. Who? These that have been destroyed. That's what he's saying. He said, you've been destroyed. Hey, but don't stay in that position. Because I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And when someone opens their mouth and says, hey, this is where I've been, but God's changed me and taken me and restored me, what a wonderful testimony to God's grace, because we can't do it on our own. We can't do it. It's impossible. But here we have a reminder of what happens. What a foundation we must hang on to as far as the Word of God is concerned. If you want to know why I'm pro-life, here we go. Fearfully and wonderfully made, and knowing the truth about what abortion really is, what it does. No question, but what God can do, even though it's pretty awful. But he challenges us as a church. He challenges us because when he spoke to God's people, I believe he speaks to us. The Word of God does that, doesn't it? There's an application to us as we think it through. He says, I've set before you... Have you seen it over... I don't think I've been over there. Let's go over here. There you go. He said, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Think about it for a minute. God is setting before us as individuals, as families, as churches, as a nation. He says to us, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. If you choose life, there's blessing. If you choose death, there's cursing. Interesting, as you stop and think, because you go back the previous two chapters, you'll see what he means by blessing and cursing. Have a look at it. Because in chapter 28, he talks about the blessing that comes because of choosing life. And when we choose life, he says there'll be blessing in the city, there'll be blessing in the country, there'll be blessing in the offspring of our cattle, there'll be blessing of the ground, there'll be blessing. It just goes on and on. He says, you will have blessing because you choose life. And we as a church must stand on that truth and say that as we choose life, we can expect through us to bring blessing. Who we elect into our parliaments to make decisions on our behalf is important. We need to speak about it. We need to think about it. We've just had a parliament gone now. But the leader of that parliament, that woman, was ardently pro-abortion. She was in charge, she's part of the founding of Emily's List. Emily's List, which was totally sold out for abortion in this nation. And there are many, many women still in our parliaments under the Labor Party, all in the Labor Party, none in any other party, who are totally pro-abortion under Emily's List. And we are facing challenges that have been brought about because of the attitude of those who choose death. But it's interesting, as this word comes to us, it says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse, therefore choose life. He doesn't say choose life or death. You notice that? Why? Because in that verse it says choose life because you don't have to do anything to choose death. Right? Who we are as human beings, we don't have to do anything to choose death. That's who we are. We have to choose life. It's got to be deliberate choice to choose life. And when you choose life, God says it's blessing. And some people wonder why we've had cursing in our nation in many ways. Oh, droughts and goodness knows what. I mean, it's part of the pattern, isn't it? But is it more than that? Is it more than that? We need to stop and think. Because it says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. What about the... It's not written, but can we assume that so do the non-blessings? That the problems come on the just and the unjust alike as a nation, when we have those who we put in power who are there to destroy us. The word of God speaks and it says, we choose life so that who will live? Not just you and me, but the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. We should have a DVD out before Christmas. It's progressing at a slow rate, but it needs to be done well. A man by the name of Graham Preston. You know the name? Graham Preston spent 8 months in jail last year. Came out just before Christmas. Why? Because he was standing in front of abortion clinics in Brisbane and holding up posters, and he'd sit on the steps and people have to walk around to get into the abortion clinic so he could talk to them. He wouldn't stop them, but it'd make it a bit more difficult for them to get there. And he was arrested numerous times. He was taken to court. He was put in jail for 8 months because he refused to pay the fines that he was fined for obstructing and protesting quietly. Never violent. But he's seen lives saved as a result of being there. He's willing to go to jail. He's willing to stand. He's been caught again this past week. Early next year, he'll go back for sentencing again. He's a gentleman. You think, what sort of wild character is this? You meet him, he's quiet, unassuming, but convicted on what he should do because he believes the word of God. He believes that we need to rescue. He said, if you see someone over the fence next door being abused, what do you do? Do you go to the council and seek permission to go on the neighbour's property? You never get it. Right? Do you ring up 000? You might. But the first thing you should do is jump the fence. You don't care about the law, you jump the fence and do what you need to do to rescue a life. He said, that's all I'm doing. That's all I'm doing. I'm standing in the gap and rescuing a life. And he's seen lives rescued. And those who are killing lives find it offensive and report him. Our society. The word of God must speak, must challenge us, and must be the foundation of what we think when it comes to the pro-life issues. And that's what challenges him. We must protect those who are being led away to death. From Proverbs. You read it. It's there. Any clearer than that? Do we need any more reminder from the Word of God of where we must be in terms of being pro-life? We can find lots more, but they're three of my favourites that I really hang on to as I continue to go. Does it make an impact? Does it have an impact on anyone? Coffs Harbour Christian School, when I was up there in May this year, just a few little ones from up the coast, and their challenges to me, their encouragements to me to keep going and to do things, and to be that voice continually, that it impacts the lives of students, impacts the lives of teachers. And I was encouraged by this teacher who made it clear that here the message impacted him and the children in his school. And that teacher in Casino Christian School, he's just purchased another batch of little feet, which I always wear, and he gives them to all his Year 6 students at the end of each year as a reminder of life and the value of life. Byron Bay. Ever been to Byron Bay? If you know it's in Byron Bay, you sort of feel a bit uneasy. I wasn't too happy to be in Byron Bay, but it's interesting what came out of Byron Bay. Just park the car out in the street, you'll see it outside, and where I was staying, and someone saw it, was interested in helping up in that area. Isn't that interesting? God took hold of that. A parent, all up the coast, a parent, wrote to me and made it clear that her son or daughter, remembered, right, a couple of years ago when I was up there. The other one now heard it, reignited the discussion in the home, reinvigorated their thought about the value of human life, reinvigorated the whole thing about who they are. And it's just an amazing thing. Topic of discussion over the years. I was at a school this week, and it's interesting, at Maitland, and at the Christian school, and the teacher came, and she says, "I know where I've seen you before." He says, you came and spoke to me when I was in year six at Hunter Christian School. I've been around that long, right? And it's interesting. He said, "I remember what you said." Made an impact in his life. I really get encouraged by that. The message speaks because it's based on the Word of God. That's where it's at. And this young lass, I took this photograph about 3-4 years ago. She gave birth when she was still 16. Why didn't she have an abortion? She said, "All I could think about was those little feet. The doctors, shame on them, were trying to force her into having an abortion because you're too young." But she said, "No way." She stood her ground. And the division that existed previously between a mum who's teacher at Casino Christian School and a whole family, God used that situation to repair. And it's amazing. I've seen that more than once. Right? Problems that are used to repair a relationship. And here she is, Jessica, little Ethan. Just an amazing, amazing story of God's grace in her life. God's word spoke to her. And you know, when you go through all these sorts of things, you think, what can I do for someone who is considering an abortion? Can I say one thing first and foremost, more than anything else? Love them. That's the first thing you have to do. You show them and you assure them that you love them. Whatever they're choosing to do, you love them. But tell them the truth, gently. Take them somewhere where they're going to hear if you can't tell them. And sometimes we find it difficult. But go somewhere like on the bulletin there. It talks about diamond pregnancy support. Go there and Jenny will show them an ultrasound of their baby. We had a young couple staying in our home for a few weeks this week. They're from Port Macquarie, and Grace's sister, Priscilla, they might have come to the church. I don't know whether Cranes came here. Gary and Katrina, their second one, Priscilla. She's just had a second one. Yesterday, or the day before, 15th, what's today, 17th? Yeah, 15th, on Friday. Micah was born on Friday. She's still a bit, but she's doing well. She's doing well. So pray for Priscilla, because she's on her own now with these two little ones. But Mum and Dad are not far away, and Gary and Katrina are really supporting her. So those who know Gary, Katrina and Crane and Priscilla, Grace and her husband are staying with us. And Billy? Ah, right. I met Mel when I was up there, yes. Okay, so you know the picture where I'm going. And, you know, it's interesting. When I spoke to Priscilla before Noah was born, I said to her a few things, and she said I booked in for an abortion. Now, she'd seen my models when she was earlier on in the pregnancy, before, when she was still a young girl. And she saw my models that I've got here and these ones. She saw the ultrasound. She saw all those sorts of things. She heard the truth. So when she got pregnant, just changed her whole attitude to life, if you know what happened. And it restored a relationship with her mum and dad as well. But it's just been an amazing story for young Priscilla. And, you know, one of the things that stuck in her mind was the value of that little unborn. She said she'd booked in for an abortion. Now, Gary didn't know. And he was just sitting behind and listening to this conversation that we were having. And I saw the shocked look on his face. He didn't know that his little girl had booked in for an abortion. And I said, why didn't you have one? This is about 2 days before the baby was due. I said, why didn't you have one? She said, I saw the ultrasound and I heard his heartbeat. All she saw was the truth. No one beat around the ears. They loved her. They cared for her. Take the opportunity to love people. And if someone's been through an abortion, again, love. Care. Find professional support. But I can just say this. I've been in church services and one in particular stands out at Armidale very, very clearly. Ever had someone start crying in your service when you're preaching? This was not just a cry, this was a wail. It became so intense that I felt very uncomfortable. What's going on here? After the service, the pastor called me over. We sat down with this young lady and her husband, and she said, I can't remember her name. She said, she's had an abortion about 8 years ago. She's now got two little children since then, but she hasn't been out of her house for about 8 months. And she was really, really depressed. But what I shared that morning touched her heart. It brought it all to the surface, and she just dissolved into tears. The first thing I'd said to her, looking her in the eyes, and she could hardly see because of all the tears, I said, it hurts, doesn't it? Acknowledge where she's at. This is a little example of, you know, seek God's wisdom in how you do it. But that was something that went through my mind first. I said, it hurts, doesn't it? She said, yes. My second question was simple. Was it a boy or a girl? She said, it was a little girl. I don't know how they know, but mum seemed to know. It's a little girl. I said, what's her name? Give her a name. That's real important. A friend of mine, he named his two little children that were aborted about 30 years after the occasion. That really was a healing process for him. I said, it was a part Aboriginal girl, and this time, and she said, what's her name? Her name is Sunshine. I thought, what an appropriate name in the midst of all these tears. I said, where's little Sunshine now? Where is she? I said, she's with Jesus. And you know, instantly, the tears stopped. Instantly, she felt hope. I said, you know, little Sunshine is looking forward to seeing you. I'm sure she's forgiven you. I'm sure she's there. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn. But I'm sure she's there, waiting for you, forgiving you. And while I was sharing that with her, there was a lady standing not far away, an older lady. And you know, this has got to be 10 years ago. It still strikes emotion. And that lady came to me as I moved away and she said, you know, I've been through the same thing 35 years ago. I know exactly what she's feeling. I said, well, she needs you. The last I saw of those two, they were hugging each other. God did that. God's word speaks. That's just beautiful. Hey, you can do it. You can do it. Let's not lose track of the simplicity of loving someone through some of those sort of things. Don't get too complicated, but just love them for who they are. You see, we're at war very quickly. Very quickly. We're at war, aren't we? You may have seen this before, but we need to be reminded always that our young people are being deceived we need to show them the truth, share the truth. Because you see, if we look at the figures of what happened during the Second World War, 5 years of war, one cross represents 500 lives that were lost, and here we are, right? 5 years of war, as against 5 years of abortion, using the same proportions, one cross for 500. You see, we're looking at around 100,000, 2,000 a week, 100,000 a year, 2,000 a week, 300 a day in Australia alone. The population of Australia disappears every year in China. We're just looking at slaughter beyond what we can ever imagine, beyond whatever happened in any war that's ever existed, ever. We can pray. It's our first port of call, right? We must pray. We must. And we must be informed. I've got lots of stuff on my website which can help young people at school, older people, anyone who's internet savvy can go in and have a look at all the information that's there. Lots and lots of stuff there that can help us understand the issue itself. God's appointment was to meet at Tim's funeral. You know, God uses all different circumstances for the opportunity to come. And I've been to, there was an article in the Australian Presbyterian written by the chairman of the board, Peter Barnes, just recently, and as a result, I went to a school I'd never been to before that I'd tried to get to previously, but I've got to this time because he read the article. So we can arrange things. It's amazing how God uses different circumstances to get me there. Know about what Choice of Life is doing, and someone mentioned on the way in about my trips to Arnhem Land and to Darwin out in the bush. If you like to be in the bush, I've been there a number of times now out in Arnhem Land, and it's just a fascinating thing to take this message of hope, of life, into the Aboriginal communities. And I'm teaming up with someone from Herald of Hope, Vince Wall. Vince came with me this last time. And Vince is just, the doors are opening as wide as you can imagine up in Arnhem Land and amongst the Aboriginal communities for him to take the Herald of Hope, the wonder of the Second Coming into the Aboriginal communities. We had, I don't know whether it was a couple of hundred people, 300 people, at Bagot Community in Darwin for four nights, every night, out in the open, right, where he talked about the Second Coming. And 99% were Aboriginal. They came from Katherine. They came from Alice Springs. They came from Elko Island, everywhere to hear Vince. First time he'd been up there, so the doors are opening up there for him. And so taking the message of life out there, and this young lass here, Jenny Sparks, we're working to set up pregnancy support in Darwin because there isn't any. There isn't any up there. All the abortions are done in the hospital, Darwin, Royal Darwin Hospital, and we're going to do something. So we're seeking to do something up there. We're working with Michelle McCormick over in Perth, the Pregnancy Problem House in Perth, to set up pregnancy support in Darwin. There's no barrier with God, with space and time. Right, he does it all. And it's just an amazing thing to bring together. So get the newsletters, because you can find out what's going on. The little feet. Little feet are a wonderful evangelistic tool. Have you ever thought about it that way? I've sat in a restaurant, I've given a pair of little feet to a young lass who's a waitress. I haven't said a word. I said, just want to thank you for your support today and helping, you know, serving us and being cheerful, and I want to give you something. I had one young lass, she must have been all of 20. She looked at me and she said, you know, I can't understand why anyone would have an abortion. I hadn't said a word. She knew exactly what it represented. Another lass says, oh, what a beautiful design. What do you say then? If they're designed, there must have been a designer. Right? I said, you need to know who that designer is, because he's got a purpose for you. How long will that take? 15 seconds. As you get the basis of the gospel, make a stop and think. I've done it to air hostesses sitting in the seat opposite when you sit in the front row, when you take off and land. You have, 10 minutes or so to have a chat. Give them little feet. Wonderful. Evangelistic tool. Opens the door to the wonder of human life. And we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Hey, you're worth something because there's someone who loves you and cares for you. You want to see someone dissolve into tears, give one to someone who you've met somewhere and they're pregnant or something like that. You just see them, it's just a tears of joy for many. It's just a wonderful, wonderful evangelistic tool that you can bring. And there's plenty down there. If you'd like to know more about Choice of Life and you want to keep in touch with where we're going, just pop your name down there. I'd appreciate that, just to keep in touch with you. And then getting others. I really desire to see others who can represent Choice of Life in different ways in our community, in our churches. Finance. Hey, it's interesting that God's kept me going for the last 6.5 years. I wondered how we were going to do it when we started, but He's kept going. He's kept going. He's been faithful. I honour God in this because someone said, "Do you live by faith?" I never thought about it. One occasion, they said to me, "Do you live by faith?" I said, "Well, I've never really thought about it." And as I thought about it, I said, "Well, hang on a minute. I can only live by faith when God's people are faithful. Don't it fit together? God uses us. And I need to train people. It's bigger than me. Much bigger than I can cope with. I can't keep going to Tasmania, Victoria, Northern Territory, openings in South Australia, opportunities now in Western Australia. How can I keep going? By having more people trained to do the job. But almost focus in the middle in prayer. Mustn't it? True? That's where it's got to go. Let's stand together in that. Not physically, but let's... He's ready to jump. But let's stand together with this. Right? As we think about those that we need to defend. Those who are defenceless. We need to stand with them. We need to support them. We need to stand together. Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank you that you are a God who loves us and cares for us and has created us and has every day of our life, even before one of them came to be. You know about that. You know about every day of our life. You knew about us being here today. Isn't it amazing? It doesn't escape your attention. You said not one little sparrow falls to the ground without you noticing. How much more those little lives that are snuffed out. Father, we need to know the truth of your word, the impact it has in our lives and the way that that can impact other people's lives. And Lord, just show us and lead us and guide us. And thank you for the opportunity of being here this morning in your house. In Jesus' name, amen.